session number 32110, reel 1.
Dardanelles in the history lesson at school, and you're wondering one or two things. What did you do when you were in Palestine? Because you spent a long time in Palestine, didn't you, during the First World War?
Yeah. Well, what you want to know is, in the first place, when I rejoined the battalion, then just up from the Suez Canal, we didn't do much fight. Our division didn't do much fighting going up the desert, because they were retreated as fast as they could, you know.
Were you actually fighting the Turks in Palestine?
Yes, and Germans.
Oh, and the Germans.
Oh, there's a big percentage of Germans there, and put the old German artillery and Austrian. Yeah. And well, of course, there's a big contingent of Germans there. Yeah. Yes, we. Our division, the 54th division, was the heavyweight division. Although we were rifles, the division as a whole was a heavyweight division. So when the flying column, you see, when we got up there, the flying column, you see, dispersed, moved off, and we took over, you see. When they got back on that strong position, well, on March the 26th, we attacked there, and on that day, our brigade, the 163 brigade, we were posted to the right. Well, right away to the right of some miles to the right of Gaza. That's why I didn't mention that.
Were you in the Gaza Strip?
When we got in the Gaza, so I didn't mention that. But when we were there, and it was two distinct fronts, like the Gaza and the Beersheba front. See, Beersheba's right away in the distance, there's a lot of troops came in from that direction. Well, we were the 161 brigade made the frontal attack, it's all our division, you see, and there's 161, 162, 163. We were the 163 brigade, and we had the job of going out and taking up a position, and they told us that there was a big reinforcement coming across from Beersheba to reinforce the Gaza Strip, see? And we were going to wipe them out as they came. Anyway, an airman, of course, it wasn't an air force, it was the flying corps, you see? And and this pilot, of course, he wasn't properly, he could fly a plane, like a lot of them, see. They were mostly mechanics and flyers then, you see. They weren't highly trained on military matters. And he estimated, he was up spotting, and he estimated this force at 100,000. Well, we couldn't hold 100,000. So they withdrew us from the position, and we went back. So actually, in that first attack, we didn't take much part in the attack. But what we did do was, of course, the 161 brigade had such a hammering that they had to be withdrawn. See, and in fact, the force retired for the time being.
You were fighting the Turks then, or the Germans?
Well, it was a Turkish front. But of course, as I say, that they were mixed. There was a lot of German control and support. Their weapons and equipment was all German, practically all German. Anyway, on the night we went back, we had to cover them. See, and so we went forward and put up a terrific demonstration. Our battalion, that was. We went for and put up a terrific demonstration. And had we only known it, they retired at the same time as we did, but we nobody knew, you see. They didn't know we'd retired, and then we didn't know that they'd retired. It made them retire. Anyway, yeah, yes, that's right. And we put the stones in and went back, see. And actually, I was in command of the right half section of 9 platoon. So, and C Company retired last. See? And on retirement, you go back in the reverse order. So I marched behind my section. It was pretty, so I must have been very near the last man to retire that night. See? Anyway, on the 19th of April, we attacked again. We went back to a place called Inserat, by the way, near Bila. On the first occasion, on the 19th of April, we attacked again, and this time we attacked over about 3/4 mile that they sent us over in daylight. Well, you know what happened then? We got wiped out. There's only 61 of our battalion standing. I was wounded. Now there wouldn't be 1,000 going over. No. There'll be about, because you see you're losing men all the time, the casualties and whatnot, see. There was, I think, 600 went over. And there are 61 left standing. That was reinforced to, up to 72 by withdrawing some of the quartermaster staff, bring over forward. Because everybody in our battalion was a trained soldier. You're bandsmen and all, they're all trained soldiers.
When did you go to the Dardanelles?
Eh?
When did you go to the Dardanelles? Where did that fit in?
Oh, that was before this.
Before that, was it?
Yes. This was the end of the war, see? Yeah. We went there in 1915 to the Dardanelles.
Yeah, about
25th or 26th of April. Yeah. Yeah, well, what I wanted to say, though, was on the day that I wasn't one that came back or standing there, I was wounded. And previously that day, the whole army, there was such a repetition of numbers in all regiments that that just as we started, and of course I told you that I had to take over this right hand section of C Company, and of course I was bidding all this, and with a new number, I had a number 331161. And Cooper, the chap that joined the same day as me and his brother, they'd had a number corresponding to their old number, see? That they were 330, 366, Cooper was. Well, he was 1666 before that, so he corresponded, you see? And I had a number 331161, well, which was, 331 was all wrong. So, anyway, I was reported killed. I was wounded.
Not the cards, still, have you?
I was wounded, reported killed, and I went all down through the Blicken hospitals giving this wrong number. A terrific mix-up at records, you know, and until Grand Glover, she kicked up, you know, and got the Red Cross, and they figured I was still alive. And then they sorted it. Glover John F. hadn't been discovered. He was dead outside, with my number. John Francis Glover had been killed, and John Hamilton Glover was going through hospital with his number. So you guess what a mix-up that was. Yeah. What did you want to know about Gallipoli, did you say?
We said Chris was doing Gallipoli in the... You went in there with the
Olivet
Rifles, did you?
Sure. Oh, yes, we did. On Gallipoli, yes. We lost 272 men the first attack we went in there.
Were you wounded there?
Aye.
Were you wounded there?
Not on Gallipoli, no. I had a terrific dysentery that... In fact, I went to hospital and... I was there to almost the end, so they carried me off. I was pretty well gone when they carried me off. It was the worst form of dysentery ever known. And thousands and thousands of them died with it. And anyway, I went to hospital, and I was so far gone that I wouldn't recover. took them weeks for to get me to tell them who my next of kin was. I said, just come to and go off again. In the end, I was in hospital 8.5 months with it.
Where did you catch the malaria? Was that it?
That was in Palestine, I caught that.
Palestine,
I caught the malaria in Palestine.
You were in trenches, weren't you?
Hey?
Trenches.
Yes. Yeah, a lot of people think it was kind of a bow and arrow war. At Gaza, I bet that was the finest trenches anywhere in the world. In the war, I mean, so, you know. We were on the left there, and all the sand dunes were there, and it's sand right away down. And so that had to be all sandbagged. Oh, I expect they were six deep, and all sandbagged. Well, I must say, if you call wartime trenches beautiful, they were, you know, very fine trenches. And in fact, the war there was just similar to what they had in France, stalemate, you know.
Yeah. But it was a lot drier, I imagine.
Pardon?
Wasn't as wet. Muddy. Yeah, that's all.
No, that was a difference. But obviously, we had massed artillery there and everything, you know. Well, at the airport and tanks. Oh yes, we had tanks to go over these trenches. In fact, some of these tanks came right through where I was over our trenches and attacked. One was nutty after a major nut that was the commander of the tanks, and the other one was Sir Archibald after Sir Archibald Murray, the commander in chief. Anyway, they're both knocked out.
They only had two tanks.
Only had two. Oh, let me. Oh, this is you. We're talking about. Well, they had them in France long when we had them, you see. And of course, they filled up the nearer France before they reached us out there. That was ours, but everybody else had two, you see, all the way along. And that was pretty good at that distance from home.
What did they do for food, mainly? Bully beef?
Food, yes, mostly bully beef, and they used to make stews, you see, with it, but we never had any roasts or anything like that. Ungallipoli, you mean?
When you're out there generally, Ungallipoli, I didn't imagine you had any.
No, all we had was bully beef and bully beef and biscuits and apricot jam and rice, that's all we had there. And until we got sick and tired of it, you know. Well, anyway, it had been under that big square in Malta for years, emergency rations in Malta. And after the bully tins were blown and the jam was all mucky, you know, so you for months and months of that, you know, it was pretty bad. Yeah.
When you got to the Dardanelles, did you come in from by boat or?
Oh yes, we had to go over the ship's side with all that, with a couple of extra bandoliers and a pack, you know, all the lot, and go down the ship's side, then a rope ladder, a thing that we'd never done before in our lives, you know. But no nonsense. The troops are all well trained. They're told to do it. They just went over, you know. Then onto barges, and they run to shore from barges. We were close under the shore because there's deep water right away to the shore pretty well.
Did you was there sea mines, barbed wire, anything in the water? Did you just walk straight up onto the beach?
There wasn't a lot of barbed wire unless it had been cleared before. We got there. We didn't get messed up because these flat bottom barges, anyway, had belched their way through it, you see. Anyway, we went straight ashore, and of course, then we were in it, you know, and we were in it right from the time we went in to we carry it because there was nowhere to go. No hiding place, as I say, you know. They were right up in the hills. And like being along these hills out here, you know, called Washy Down, you know, along like that. And as though we were down in the plain, in our new church way, you know. Right in under them, you know. So they had us hot out, and we attacked several times, but we never did break through. No, and then the disease set in, of course, and there's more. There's 126,000 casualties there. I'll tell you what, something like a lot of people think it was a bow and arrow war, but it was a pretty rough go, I'll tell you.
A lot of people got wiped out, going straight. And a lot of the soldiers got wiped out, going straight up onto the beaches, didn't they? A great percentage got wiped out before
yes, but I want to tell you, we went in at Suvla Bay. There's Suvla Bay and Anzac, you see, or next to each other. Well, then there's a break, you see, the country, and the other, what you're talking about, and the River Clyde, that you mean, aren't you? Where they went off the River Clyde. That was another landing altogether. Anzac to the right of us was another one where the Australians and New Zealanders went in. We went and right up on the left. If you look at a map, you'll see it near the Gulf of Saros. And we went right in on the extreme left. But we never got a lot of white paint on the beaches. We was more or less in it, you see, after we got in, like, you know. But down on the Gulf said right at the mouth of the Dardanelles. Actually, we were up a bit from the Dardanelles, you see, a few miles. And they ran right into it, and they had all that big artillery, you see, that was like the forts guarding the Dardanelles, and work to make, you see. That was the 2nd Battalion of our regiment, the 2nd Hampshire's, that got that. Did you hand what boat pass on? There's a lot. Take your days for really recite it all, you know. But we lost a tremendous lot of men there, and so did everybody else, you know. In fact, the 2nd Hampshire's went over what they called Chocolate Hill. Of course, I forget what the hill was now, but it was called Chocolate Hill for.
I think it's still a bit on the tape there, was afterwards when you were recuperating down at Putpool and you used to go fishing on your bikes when you're down at Ryde.
Ah, that wasn't recuperating, that was before we went. That was before.
Tell them about that, because
what?
When you used to go fishing on your bikes.
On your bike?
When you used to go out on the trot lines, didn't you?
Hey? Trot lines?
Yeah.
Oh, yes. Yes, some kids were drowned in there, weren't they, at Ryde? We used to have to take part time off from our down train to go and do coast defence, you see, because although what a lot of people don't realise, you know, the invasion scare there was in this last war, you've all heard about that, haven't you?
You're scared?
Yeah, well, I'm saying that we expected them to attack at any time. Well, we did in the first war, although it didn't seem to be realised mostly by a lot of people. We used to have to stand to every morning up in Sandium Barracks. Yeah, a whole platoon or half a company used to have to march around the square, you know, where the day was breaking each morning. So all these forts had to be manned, you see. We had to find infantry support for the artillerymen, see? Which was, of course, made the training harder. In fact, we couldn't go out down the town without a pass.
That's when you were standing there?
Yeah, we couldn't go out there. And when we were in these forts, we were in until a day came round for us to have a half a day off, or a day off. Which will perhaps work out about what's in a fortnight, 3 weeks.
No, not yet. When you left the dark house, you meant